Well, good morning to each one of you. It's good to be here again this morning. We're just encouraged with what Brother James brought out there in Ephesians of what all the blessings and promises that are in the church or with the Church of Christ, and I appreciated that how he talked about verse 10 there about his workmanship and how he alluded that too, that if there's some, if we buy something that has a brand name that we can go back and they'll stand behind it. And that's beautiful how, you know, when we, if there's some faults and shortcomings in our lives where struggles, why we can go back to the one that has begun it, and he'll strengthen us again. So I was just encouraged by that this morning. Many things we could talk about there, but thank you for what you did share there. I was blessed. I know this week we've had many challenges here for myself. I didn't really know what to preach this morning here, but looking to the Word of God, I know that the Bible's full, and as I talked, just kind of thought to myself that we serve a God that in heaven, that through His Son Jesus Christ delights in helping desperate men when they're in a desperate situation, and that is to bring glory to Him. And I know that that God delights in helping desperate people out of desperate situations. And I believe that we if we're honest with God, you know, sometimes our hearts quake and our quiver, not knowing, you know, the future. And I think we need to just go back to the Word of God and look at some of His promises, and which I was blessed with what was already shared this morning in through Brother Steve and Brother James. There's a few things here I'd like to look at this morning, and I think I'll title my message Bread in the Wilderness. I preached a little bit of this up at Concord several weeks ago, but this would be a little bit different this morning. But I'd like to turn to, first of all, in James chapter 5, there's a few verses there I'd like to read. In the book of James, James reminds us of the prophet Elijah, and he gives this word here, if I can find it. James chapter 5, verse 17. He's speaking of fervent, effectual prayer, and then he goes on and gives his likeness to Elias, or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So that is, he gives us an example of that God does answer earnest, effectual prayers if they're, he answers them if they're from a righteous man. They avail much. That's a promise for us all this morning. So we want to look at a little bit of Elijah and some of the things for the first example of maybe a dire situation where things were, and just see the faith of some and how. And then also, before we get to that, I would like to turn to Luke, where Jesus himself made mentions of the prophet Elijah. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, this was Jesus. Now, this is a little different context here. He was responding to, this was after what he said in verse 18, when he quoted the prophet Isaiah. I'd like to read that a little bit later on here in the message. But in verse 23, Jesus said that the Pharisee that they was going to say, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias or Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." And then he says, "And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." It's interesting that Brother James brought out about this morning about of Christ making of two one, and these both, that widow was a Gentile, and so was Naaman the Syrian, that Christ was already putting that in place. It's beautiful that God is not a respecter of persons. So let's, if you would turn with me to Elijah chapter, or 1 Kings 17. Before we read that, I'd just like to bow my head and pray. Yes, Lord, we do come before you here this morning. We come to you in the name of Jesus that we heard about already this morning, Lord. I pray that today that we might see him and that he would have the preeminence in everything that we say, Lord. I pray that you might set a watch over my heart and my lips, Lord, and that we could rejoice in your goodness to us, Lord. We pray, Father, that I could be a vessel meet for your use today, Lord, and lay down any self-pride or self-will, Lord, but that we could be humble and honest before you as our great God and Savior. We do love you. We ask these blessings and favors in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in this, one thing about Elijah, there was not much of a pedigree behind him, but he kind of just dropped in and started speaking into. And the reason, we're going to talk about that later. This city was a Gentile city. And Elijah, the Tishbite, verse 1, 1 Kings 17, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. He was a balm of, one of the balms of Gilead. And said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God," he was prophesying against Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. This was, and I believe that God was preparing Elijah for a work that he had intended for him, and he wanted Elijah to see that you only exist by what I provide for you, which is the way we are if we're honest, if we admit it. But a few things there. The ravens were a bird back then that was, they were a bird that only ate insects and carrion, and they were also forbidden in the old covenant that you could not eat them. But God used that very thing to feed Elijah, one of his prophets. It's just interesting that they, the carrion, that's dead animals. That's what they were to eat, the ravens. But Elijah ate from their mouth. He brought flesh and bread to Elijah. Now, it's always, it's that God can take, He can make something from nothing. That's another verse I'd like to encourage us here this morning, is that God has chosen the weak things of the world, the beggarly things, to bring to naught the things that are, that he might receive glory. And that's where when we face troubling or dire situations, That is the way God receives glory. When we're honest with him and say, Lord, this is where we're at. We need help. That is one thing. And then but the brook dried up and he had to go somewhere else. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 8, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. There's just a couple things I'd like to talk about there a little bit. And number one is the workmanship that James talked about this morning. This woman is an example of that workmanship in Christ Jesus, in that she never thought she had every reason in the world to say that, sir, we don't have any water. There's a famine in the land, and we barely have enough for ourselves. But she just turned around and went and got what he asked her to get. And those are just that she was faithful in a little thing that God put before. And that's the same example that we need to have today. God does not put, he wants us to just be faithful. We'll see all the examples in the scripture to be faithful in the little things. And even though we face mountains, God wants us to step up in faith. But he told her, and she had in her heart that her life was over. They was going to have one more meal and die, because that's all they had. That was it. And she was not lamenting or mourning about that. She accepted that as a fact, and that was how she responded to. She said, you know, she responded before that, as the Lord thy God liveth. That's how she responded. And Elijah said unto her, 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son, for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And that is that's a word of encouragement to me this morning, that God abides faithful. In the promise of his word, they won't fail until they won't fail. God's word will not fail. And it says here, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. In other words, that meal and oil was going to last until the famine was over. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. In other words, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Those are just some encouragements for me this morning that it is God's way and his glory to make use of the weak and foolish things of the world and to put honor upon them. This lady was poor and needy. She was more in a condition to receive than to give. She had more, she would have been much rather needing help than rather try to give someone help. She was very charitable and generous. Jesus said, a cup of water in my name will he honor. You know, that is what I ask you children, you know, when you're asked to do a small thing, if you give it out of a pure heart and a cup of fresh water to someone that asks, that God honors that. Little things. And we can read on there. And the thing of it is, we can see that God's heart, what I'd like to emphasize this morning is that when God blesses a little, when God blesses just a little, it multiplies far beyond our wildest imaginations. But by the same token, when we have in abundance and hoard in abundance, the wind of God can blow that thing away just like that. But when we let God bless a little that we have and let Him do the multiplying, it brings glory to His name. When everyone knows that we don't have much and God sees an opportunity there to multiply it, then the glory comes to Him and not to man. The meal and the oil multiplied, not in the hoarding, but in the spending or using of it. For there is that, for the scripture says, for there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. When God blesses a little, it will go a great way. And that, you know, that that oil is, if I understand that right, it was the same flavor as the manna that came from heaven. Oil and bread was like what we put, bread and butter. That's the same. They've looked into that it tasted the same as when we put butter on our bread. That oil in that cruise was what they put on their bread. You can read that in Numbers 11:8. Manna tasted like bread or with oil or butter. So that's just some encouragement. There's a principle of the Word of God to all of us, children and parents, that there's nothing lost by being kind to God's people and ministers. She that received a prophet had a prophet's reward. That's another word of God. If you receive a prophet, you have a prophet's reward. She gave him house room and was repaid with food for her household. Christ promised that if we open our doors to Him, He will come in and sup with Him, with them, and they with Him. Revelation 3:20. It's just the same. If we open our doors to the words of Jesus Christ, He will eat with us and we will eat with Him. Just the way the prophet Elijah did with that widow. She opened her doors to Him. She could have long said, I don't have much. I'm getting two sticks here, which is what she did say. But He said, get me something to eat. And she was faithful just in those simple things. And she and her son did eat many days. In Psalms 37:19, it says, those that trust in God shall not be ashamed of the evil time, but in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. You know, we could take that literally, physically as food, but there's a famine in the land today of the Word of God in the hearts of humanity. That's the famine that's in the land. But if we trust in God, we don't need to be ashamed of the evil time that we're living in. He will keep us satisfied. That's just a beautiful promise there. That's the first example, and I thought maybe for the next one we would just go to maybe turn to the New Testament and look at Jesus. But maybe first, before I would turn to that, I would like to just to encourage the brethren here this morning that in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus went to the temple that morning, is when He spoke those gracious words in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. And then I'd like to turn back to Isaiah 61. Shared that with the youth the other evening a little bit, but I think that do well to go across it here this morning. Okay, Luke chapter 4, it says, Jesus picked up the book. They brought Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when He closed the book, the people were in almost a trance in that, because then He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they all knew what He was talking about. If we turn back to Luke, or Isaiah 61, He's talking. This was the prophet Isaiah speaking of the prophesying of Christ. He reads this a little more, and it's a little more in depth. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that is, you know, I think those verses warm my heart this morning, because, you know, the Lord, in situations we face, I think if we're honest, the Lord needs to do a planting. And he talks about that. I talked about it the last message of in Matthew there, that every plant which the Lord hath not planted shall be rooted up. But this is just a beautiful, but the Lord wants to do a kind, generous, merciful planting in every heart. And this is his method right here. He's going to give praise for a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. This is what Jesus Christ was pointing back to. And you can go on there, and strangers shall, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. This is the people of the living God, those that have been born again, that have had the planting of the Lord. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. That's the sons of the alien, those that were not Jews. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Those are just, I was blessed by that. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth. More of that workmanship that James talked about. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. There are just some beautiful verses there for me this morning, first of all. And next, okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, I think that we should begin reading in, here's another example of the working of Jesus Christ and the Lord God. Verse 29, Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Maimed means they were missing their limbs, legs and arms and things, fingers. And many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coast of Magdala. So that was just the phrase that stuck out to me as I read that several weeks ago, and even today, is that, are we not just like the disciples most of the time? We look at a situation and we say that it's too big. We can't handle it. We can't handle it. It's too big. And we're not willing to just be faithful in a little. Jesus said, He that is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. Or how can ye be faithful if you're not faithful in little, be faithful in much. How can I give you, grant you more opportunity? Paraphrase there a little bit, but the phrase that stuck out to me is how the apostles responded and said, where are we going to find that much bread in the wilderness? And if we're honest, this life that we live in sometimes looks very much like a wilderness. We can get discouraged if we look around us of the crime, the way the governments are in a turmoil right now, about to step into war in Iraq and Syria there, and the prisons are overflowing, and it's almost can be discouraging. There's just not much bread around the way it looks. And this is what, and you know, when if we look at, but that was the apostles' assessment right away is, we don't have enough to feed these people. Not near. Not even close. But, you know, God does not, you know, I had to think already, you know, if we do a little calculations there, there was probably 8,000 people there. And if we say that there was, if we could say 10 loaves or one loaf per 10 people, that would be about, that would take about 800 loaves of bread. And, you know, sometimes we don't want to move forward until we have the 800 loaves sitting beside us. God does not operate that way. He wants us to step forward in faith what he has given us responsibility over. That we would just take the bread that we have and pass out, however small it may be. That is what God wants for all of us. He does the multiplying. There was no bread in the wilderness. The wilderness is a desert place. And what the eye could see, that looked like a hopeless situation. And, you know, Jesus said, just sit down and bring me what you have. Bring me what you have. And here again, God delights in taking a little and multiplying it. And most of the time, first of all, I'd like for a few things for us to consider. Number one is there was a great multitude. There was 8,000 people out there. And number two, Christ had compassion. He was pitiful toward them because they hadn't ate in 3 days. And he said, and it's not like that they were munching along as he was preaching to them. It said they had nothing to eat for 3 days, nothing. And then another thing I'd like you to consider, Jesus asked, what do you have? How many loaves have ye? They said, seven and two, a few little fishes. Not a big fish, not big fishes, but little fishes. Pretty paltry. But he said, bring them here. Let's get on with this. He gave thanks and he asked the God of heaven to bless it. And he started passing it out. And that's what he's asking us to do today. Just to be faithful in what he's shown us and start passing it out, what we do have. And they did all eat and were filled. And they, you know, the few things I had to consider there, the questions for all of us. When we're done with this scripture, was there enough bread? We'd have the conclusion that there was more than enough. There was more than enough bread there, even though there was no bread in the wilderness. And by the way, the bread isn't in the wilderness. The bread is in Jesus Christ. Or the next question is the wilderness of life causing us not to see the bread, let alone partake and taste of it? Is that what the wilderness of life is doing to us? The next thing I'd like for us to consider, if you would ask anyone that was there that night, when they was home the next morning, if you'd ask them, was there enough bread there last night? They would have surely responded, yes, there was crumbs everywhere. There was bread enough. There was crumbs laying everywhere. But that's just some encouragement for me here this morning to, you know, that sometimes when we, I think in life, when we're discouraged and filled with despair and hopelessness, that we need to look to the Word of God in situations just like that, and it's no different now than it was then. That's where when God receives glory, when desperate men call upon him, that his glory is magnified and glorified in himself. He will do it. And I'd like to turn to a few other scriptures here. I don't have a long message here this morning, but in John chapter 6, Jesus goes through and and talks about that he is that bread of life, which I don't want to read too many of them there. I'd like to John chapter 6. He says, in verse 26, we're going to just pick out a few scriptures to go through here. Verse 26 of John chapter 6, he says, "Verily," Jesus answered them. He was asking them why they came, or when they came. They asked him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" He was, if you read that, Jesus took a shipping and he landed places that he was there long before they were. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Then he tells us, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And then he tells them that it's the work of God to believe on him. And they ask him, "How do we do that work?" There again, James, the workmanship of Jesus Christ. "Verily, verily," he goes on, verse 32, "I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And verse 35, and they said, "Well, give us this evermore, this bread." Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then moving on down, he says in verse 46, he says, "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. And a man cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, is able to, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And I just, I think we'll quit there. We know those are familiar, profound scriptures, you know, that he says it again in verse 58, "This is that bread which came down from heaven." He was, one thing about this discourse is Jesus would always remind him that he was the bread and that man must partake of this bread in order to live. He just went over and over on that. Said it three or four or five times in that chapter there. "This is that bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Those are just some promising words of the bread of life this morning. And then in John chapter 21, this was after John chapter 1, this was when the disciples were, I think, discouraged. This was after Christ had, I don't think some of the apostles had seen him yet, and they were discouraged, and it's where Simon said he's going to go fishing. "After these things," verse 1, John chapter 21, "Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with you." We're going to go with you. "They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That's, an illustration there for us as believers, that our nets should be cast on the right side of the ship. The right side, cast your net in the right place. That could be taken many ways, but I believe it's an encouragement for us. They cast, therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus had the meal prepared already. Amazing. He has the meal prepared for us as well. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, and thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. I just was encouraged by that, you know, there's some times in our lives when we can be that way, when we get discouraged and we want to get on the boat and get out of here. But Christ is still on the shore inviting us to come and dine with him. And that is, I was encouraged by that this morning. And I trust that you all, I think that was as far as I would go here today. I pray that if there was something that was shared that does not correspond with the Word of God here this morning, why, that you would approach me with that. May God bless each one of you and pray for us as a family. And Lord be with you all.